Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Laetal Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Laetal Recovery Center located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at thelaetalrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on the web at laetalrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affect us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experiences, insight, and hope for continuing in recovery. Hi, I'm Denise, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus and grateful to be here today in recovery. And my co-host
is Radio Johnny, and also a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I think we're going to start out talking. Denise, you had a great topic, something you're working on in your life right now that I think would be a real cool thing for us to kick off with.
Sure. So I'm assuming you're talking about the reason why we get angry. What's the underlying reason? So as a lot of you know and have heard me talk about, I am taking a Blueprint for Permanent Change / Genesis Process class that runs for a year through Real Life, their restoration night on Thursdays. And so right now I'm currently in the Fight, Flight, or Freeze chapter 3. And one of the parts that I was reading on was about anger and about how, I wish I had my book right here, but I don't, so I'm going to do my best here. And about how basically the underlying reason that we are angry is usually due to fear. So as I was giving an analogy earlier, and I will clean it up a little bit, would be, let's just take money problems, okay? So if I'm angry about money problems, if I'm upset about that or upset with people, if I really look at it, what actually for me this is about is, say, like in January, if there's not enough money because I'm worried, that's what I'm actually worried about, then what's going to happen? Is it that the car's not going to get fuel put in it? Is it that some of my kids' needs aren't going to be taken care of? So that fear has caused me to be angry.
Sure.
And I challenge you, whoever's listening, to just think about that. Sometime when you're angry with someone, just take a moment and think, what am I afraid of? It took me a long time to really wrap myself around seeing that in myself. But I got to say, it's actually really helpful, because being angry with other people isn't really going to help me. I should have conversations about what I'm concerned about and what we could do together to make things better and talk about it. Because if I don't get my fears out about what things may look like next month, then I'm going to be grumpy with the people that I love. I'll kind of probably be an ass. That's, you know. And then the other thing is I want to just mention real quick while we're on the subject, is that for me, things can pile. When things are compiling in my life, like, there's this going on with this person, and I'm afraid for what's going to happen to them, and there's this going on with this other family member, and there's multiple things going on with so many people in my family, and then, like, you know, you got an uncle in the hospital in the ICU that might die, and, you know, a sick mom, and all these kinds of things. These kinds of things compile, and it just makes life a lot harder, for me, at least. So,
for anyone, I think it's pretty... Yeah.
So I'll just lastly say, I again challenge you, when you're really feeling overwhelmed or unkind with other people, to sit back and think about, what are the things going on in your life? What are you afraid that's going to happen to the people around you? What is the fear about?
It's great to think about where the anger is coming from. I think it's probably not a huge jump for people if they're in a particular situation. You know, the spouse or the partner is not paying enough attention, is a workaholic, an alcoholic, drug user, whatever. There can be a lot of anger there towards that person. And when you talk about sorting out what it is exactly that makes you angry, while he or she are not spending enough time with me. And that frustrates me because I really care about them and I need somebody to help me with, you know, what's going on in my life. I need someone to talk to, or I need financial support from someone, and maybe they're spending their money on stuff that I don't understand why they're doing that sort of thing, when they know there's, you know, a responsibility to the household or to the family. And understanding that is good, but then there's the next step. You know, what can you do about it? And you alluded to it. You can have conversations. And those can add to anger as well. And so you get this dog chasing its tail mm-hmm. scenario where it seems like everything you try to do to the best of your ability ends up, you know, making me more angry and more like, angry more and more angry. And then, like you also said, then you start treating other people in your life crappy, not intentionally, but because you're wound up in this anger circle and you can't get out of it. Now, for me, that's when I need to do some pretty serious meditation and self-reflection. I have to really rely on my faith in my God of my non-understanding, that it's going to work out somehow. I might not be happy with it, mm-hmm. but it will work out. And the one thing, it may sound ridiculous, but I really do look at things and go, is this going to kill me? Or is it just going to make things really hard for a while? Because I'm sure most people out there have been through really hard things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah, and we've come out for the other side. Don't necessarily have to be happy about it.
That's
you
fair.
Know, say, oh, well, you know, God will take care of it. Everything's going to be fine. No, there's going to be some hard work between mm-hmm. those. The point of, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to have some really sucky choices come January. Mm-hmm. Or do I look at it and say, I'm going to do whatever I can now to try and minimize the impact then, and that's all I can do.
Exactly.
And when I get to January, I'll deal with that. And a lot of it has to do with worry as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we worry about things and we get angry. And worrying, I used to be a huge worrywart, especially in my addiction. I would worry about, you know, am I going to be able to not drink so much before I go to work that everyone, you know, will know what's going on? You know, worry about, am I going to get pulled over while I'm driving steadily drunk for how many years? Mm-hmm. Just that worry, worry, worry. And in sobriety, those worries in particular are gone. But it's also helped me realize that worrying over something or at something, just not a healthy practice for me. I do what I can do. I put as much as I can in God's hands and then do the work, do what I can do. In the old days, I would worry about it and then proceed not to do anything about it to make it better, and then get angry that my life was so crappy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's, you know, what happens to everyone, but that was my cycle. And it's always helpful to have somebody to blame things on, I have found. Well, the guy fired me, he just doesn't understand, and, you know, it's not my fault. You know, I drink a little, big deal. A lot of people do it. They go out, drinks at lunch. Why do you pick me out of the group to be the one that gets disciplined?
Justify it. For goodness sakes, Johnny, justify that.
That's right. I can rationalize like you nobody's know,
it makes
business.
It makes me think about something, and that is changing. So the ability to work on change when you're in the situations where there has to be some give, there has to be some change for things to get better. A lot of times it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But after you give it a try a handful of times and get a little bit more comfortable with it, it, for me, at least, it's become easier. So it just, that thought came into my mind, because when you're talking about an addiction, about worrying, and then nothing would happen. And I remember having this really big thing about change. I really resisted change. In my mind, it was correlated with like how I'd switched schools so many times when I was young and moved so many times. And there was so much hard stuff in that, and then hard reasons behind it, that I resisted change. I really wanted things to just be like, okay, so this part of my life is good. We're going to do what I need to do to keep it that way. And that was like at any cost. And so I just encourage people to think about change. Like, what can you change when you're getting into those, to those anger situations? And it's not like I'm saying like, change yourself. You know, you need to be a different person. No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, sit down with somebody maybe and think about, what's the problem? What's going on? What's the fear, if that's applicable? And what kinds of things could help? We talk about in the Serenity Prayer about the things that we have control over. And it's not a whole lot. But as I've been in recovery, I've been really grateful to understand that there was only like my part that is my part, and that I don't have to run around and fix everyone else's part.
Yes.
So like kind of breaking down a lot of the different kinds of NAAA things that we have learned through the years, being able to decide and make good choices and looking at what needs to change. And like you said, worry isn't good, but it's a good indication that something's going on. It's like, if I start feeling worried or angry, I'm like, oh, what's going on? Because smiley me isn't usually like angry.
Right.
So, right?
Right, sure. And, you know, those being able to use those emotional signals.
Right.
Because I think worry is kind of an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it ties up with, and fear. I mean, fear. Mm-hmm. That's
universal.
At the root of so many things in my life that are hard to deal with. And it goes back to childhood, really, for me. It was the fear of, I was the last of four children, the only boy, and for some reason, even though everyone, because I was, there are 7, 12, and 14 years between me and my sisters, and for some reason, I was thinking I was not getting enough attention. Which is hysterical if you think about it. Because
given that you were the youngest of, and you had three sisters, I bet they were giving you lots of attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I mean, I can just picture what that looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And if three sisters have a little baby brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was. I was.
You probably got lots of attention.
Oh, I was spoiled rotten. But maybe it was That's when funny. That wore off. Or maybe it was just the ism of the alcoholism that
maybe.
I think I had since birth, that either I wanted more because I didn't feel like I was getting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's a fear factor in there. There's that factor of, I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I want. And I think that's, you know, it's so funny to be fearful over wants. And that fear can generate anger. I didn't get the BB gun for Christmas that I wanted. And, I could get angry and resentful over that. And that's the other thing that fear causes in my life, is those resentments. And resentments for an alcoholic like me are deadly poison, because that's what will allow me to rationalize taking that first drink. It's a incurable disease that is always fatal. And just because I'm not drinking right now doesn't mean that my addiction is being beat down. My addiction is the 500-pound gorilla in the corner doing push-ups, just waiting.
The hairy gorilla in the corner.
That's right. Just waiting for me to take a drink so he can step in, jump on my back, and be off and running until I die. Because when I drink, that's how I drink. I don't care about anything else, and there comes a point, I think you and I have both talked about it, where death is kind of welcome.
Oh, yes. The getting depressed after a while is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Suicidal or whatever. I mean, I think that falls under a lot of levels. That's like emotional, and I think it would be physiological,
mm-hmm.
brain-wise, and all the things. Yeah, I mean, I think you honestly, with too much alcohol or too much drugs or whatever, you're just changing your brain. You're just overloading, and then it gets depleted.
Right.
So, I mean, that's nothing to do with anybody, but just the fact of how things are, you know?
Right, exactly. And once
you step in front of a truck, you're probably going to get hit.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
there's
I don't know,
kind of a funny story.
A few miracles, I think, but for the most part.
Yeah. Well, that's why I hear so many people in AA saying things like, I know I have another drunk in me, but I don't know if I have another recovery in me. Another fellow said once, and I always remember it, he said, when you're out driving that road of recovery out into your future, you're still never more than 10 feet away from the ditch. So
stay on that path, man.
If you don't pay attention, if you don't protect your sobriety, mm-hmm. you know, that ditch is always right there for you.
And that reminds me of why, you know, in AA and NA, you do the 12 steps and you just keep going through them. I'm assuming you do them once every year. I mean, I do the CR steps once every year or something pretty similar. And that's really helpful. Or basically, I mean, just in my head of doing, you know, carrying out the steps each day, each week kind of a thing. I mean, we know how to do them, but I'm just saying, like, with someone.
Yeah.
You can do them with someone.
Well, in a lot of AA meetings around this town, they will go through, you know, 12 steps, 12 months.
Right.
Coincidence?
I think not. and then so you guys get to do that. And I have a me and three that are my accountability ladies that I meet up with each week, mm-hmm. let them know what's going on in my life too. And then we ask, you know, when we see each other, we're like, hey, so how's that one thing going?
Right.
How are you doing with that? I don't know, issue with so-and-so.
Yeah. Right. Or that fear or that worry or just what's like I said, just what's going on in life. Because we're going to start a project here at the LRC. Well, we're going to reintroduce our artist-in-residence program. Mm-hmm. And we got a grant for it. Everything's ready to go, except we're going to be doing a remodel. Mm. And the remodel has not yet started. Due to some issues. And the problem with that is we can't invite an artist in to come and do workshops in the middle of a construction zone.
That's not going to work.
So I was very frustrated by that and started acting out. And my wife's like, what is your problem? It's just this AIR thing and getting it started and done all this work and it's finally all coming together. Now we got this big roadblock. And she's like, can you physically go grab the contractor and drag him into the building and watch him work? And I'm like, well, no, that's silly. And she just looked at me with that, you dummy, think about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And, you know, I've done my part. It's all ready to go. It's just a timing issue at this time. Mm-hmm. Somehow we'll recover. You know, we'll still get the three artists and resident slots filled.
It'll happen. It's disappointing, though.
Yeah, it is. But, and here's the thing.
But you're going to live, right?
Right. I got angry about that. Mm-hmm. And then if I'd only stepped back a little bit from the anger and said, well, in 2020, we started it, and COVID hit, mm-hmm. and we managed to work around that. Mm-hmm. So why do I not think that if we were able to work around COVID, mm-hmm. we can't work around a little construction work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just so silly.
And so the cool thing is, it sounds like you've gotten everything all ready to make it happen.
Right.
So
right.
That's good. So
yeah.
It's like all ready. Mm-hmm. And then when the opportunity is ready to move forward, then you'll be able to.
That's right.
That's
that's the next line in the Serenity Prayer. The courage to change the things I can.
Yeah.
So, and the wisdom to know the difference, which is the hard part.
Sure.
And speaking of wisdom, why don't we take a break, drink some wisdom coffee, and come back in a couple of minutes and talk a little bit about something else.
Cool.
All right. We'll be back. Listen to this.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel, all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign on the straight and
back. Hope you enjoyed that, whatever that song that was that I recorded sometimes after this interview.
We like to be a little humorous sometimes. We can't help
right.
it.
That's right. I know exactly what song it was, I think. We're back on Recovery Radio and on KRFP 90.3 FM, the coolest station in the nation. I'm Radio Johnny and she is Denise. And we're going to talk a little bit about something that's probably a no-brainer for most people, but I think everybody has a little bit of the felonious in their system about honesty. And in the AA Big Book, they talk about rigorous honesty, you know, being vital to recovery and maintaining recovery. And I get that. And it's just not always so clear. I go back to when I was in my active addiction, the lies just piled up. You know, there's cash register honesty, and then there's the self-delusion, you know, that we can convince ourselves that although we intellectually know that the alcohol is killing us or the drug or whatever, we can still bring ourselves to use because it'll be okay this time. It'll be different this time. You know, a million forms of self-deception. Mm-hmm. But being honest after, you know, living like that for a long time can be a challenge for people. A lot of times we don't just lie to get people off our back about, you know, our drinking or drugging habits. Sometimes we lie just to make our lives a little easier. Oh, I'm late for work because, you know, put your lie in here. I had a flat tire, ran out of gas. I hit a dog. I had to find the owner. When the reality is, we overslept. And those are the kind of lies, you know, little white lies, people call it. It still doesn't fit into that rigorously honest world that we're supposed to be living in. But you brought up something in the break that really perked my ears up, and that's the ability to be, as you said, really honest, mm-hmm. which I think is telling. I think it's really great because mm-hmm. it means there's no BS. Mm-hmm. There's no making the story sound a little better than it was, and being able to be really honest with people because of a safe environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so I was sharing that things like the Me and Three that I have each week with two other ladies that I'm friends with, we all get together and we share about our week. And it's a safe setting, you know. We all share very personal, real things about ourselves with each other. And the ability to be able to talk about what's actually really going on in our lives, truthfully, is freeing, to say the least. And that safety and the trust that we have between each other, that those things aren't going to leave, you know, the table that we're sitting at, and that we're going to be praying for each other and being supportive and then check back with each other, you know, and seeing how we're doing, is so helpful. Because when I'm able to say those things out loud and hear myself, first of all, it's freeing to the initial weight of whatever's going on.
Right.
Okay, so I can be honest about what I'm going through or about what the struggle is. And from there, it's like there's just movement inside. Okay, now what are some of the things? What's my part? What are some of the things that I could do? And then the other part of hearing other people be really honest is that it's that's a really great example for me. I get to hear about what these ladies are doing in their own lives. And I got to say, honestly, they're maturer than I am.
Honestly?
Honestly, they are maturer than I am. And so it's a huge benefit for me just to see how they walk out things. It gives me a lot of hope. It makes me think of things that I wouldn't normally think of. And so I'm not just stuck in like Denise's own head of and thoughts of what have I done in my life in these kinds of situations and how has that worked out? Well, not always as good as I would hope. So yeah, it's a place to be able to be really honest and then work from there. Yeah.
Right. And that ability to be really honest, that is so vital, because even in, you know, our close relationships, I will tend at times to be dishonest just to avoid a conflict. Like, did you do this?
That's what I wanted to interrupt you and say when you were talking before I was talking was conflict. Oh my goodness, conflict. That is like the thing, at least for me. Conflict sucks. I mean,
oh yeah.
It's not fun. And that's why it's actually been really good for me to see people walk that out well. And I get to see that in this with these
right.
ladies. I love it. Yes, but go back to conflict.
Right. Yeah, so to avoid conflict, you know, did you empty the dishwasher? Yeah, I did. No, wait. No, I didn't. It's my first go-to. Mm-hmm. is to, oh, if I say no, she's going to get mad at me because she asked me to do it like 3 times and I kept saying, yeah. Yeah, I'll get to it. And then I didn't do it. And then that mental process happens in the blink of an eye. And then I say, yeah, I did. And then I'm like, no, wait, no, I did not. And, you know, she gives me that look. Mm-hmm. Kind of like your dog looks at you when like, you're yelling at it.
What?
Are you?
Yeah. Little head tilt.
Yeah, just like, huh? So, and again, you know, there's so many things. It took me 40 years to get sober. And I've been sober for about half that amount of time now. And I'm still trying to correct old behaviors. Yeah. That I have been doing for 40 years, and they don't always crop up all at once. Just because I have the drink problem fixed doesn't mean that all of those other character defects just went away. I mean, in my 7th step, you know, humbly ask God to remove all these defects of character, doesn't mean he did it all at once. He may still need to give me lessons on why those things don't work. Or maybe I didn't recognize all my character defects in my 4th and 5th step.
Could you imagine if you were shown all the things wrong about yourself, or if I was shown all the things, like, I think my head would explode. It would be, I don't even know. I would just break, probably. So I think it comes a little bit at a time.
Right, exactly. Again, it's those things that you don't even recognize as being big character defects. Other people around us might notice it. And that's one of the joys of being in a fellowship. You know, you're me and three, or the other programs that you work, or my working with other alcoholics in recovery. We have an obligation to each other to call BS when we hear it. I remember a woman in a meeting talking about, I'm so mad. It just keeps raining. And in my head, I'm going, and once again, the weather refuses to bend to her will, you know, and not so much making fun of her, but, you know, thinking in my head, yeah, I do that too.
I know. That reminds me.
Get mad at the snow. Really?
One of my accountability friends, a couple years ago, gosh, it must've been like, maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago, did this Facebook thing. And it was basically about not complaining about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, and it totally helped me, you know, that she pointed this out. I remember her talking about it before, but then we had this Facebook thing. We walked through the weather the winter together 1 year, and it was really cool to see people write posts that were positive about the weather. It just changes things. I mean, it is. It's nothing. There's nothing we can do about this out here. If you don't like it,
move to Arizona,
but you still got weather there. I mean,
exactly.
I think the only thing that I think of is, oh man, are my tires, are they still good? Do I need to change them? Do I still have tires? Like, it's always these questions. Do the kids have snow boots? Do they have snow pants? How much is that going to cost? But it's going to be 4 seasons if you live in Idaho. And, you know, honestly, even if you live in Arizona, where I'm from, I moved here and I owned a suede jacket, and I was cold there in the wintertime.
Right.
So there you go. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, I actually,
if you don't know how to dress for it, it's a bad scene either way.
Yeah. I had an uncle who lived up in the high desert, and they got snow in the winter. So, Arizona is not... Yeah. Not all the Sun Valley and Phoenix and Scottsdale area.
No. You can go skiing there. I mean, the Grand Canyon, Flagstaff, that's like, what, 9,000 feet or 12 or something
there.
Ridiculous? Yeah.
There's you can get up there. But so anyway, getting back to honesty and, you know, what honesty is, it seems to be a very flexible concept for people. And for me in general. And, well, here's the question every man dreads. Do these pants make my butt look big? that's a trap.
Man.
Certainly is an opportunity to maybe not be rigorously honest Or you can be honest and say, well, you've got lots of nice clothes. Why don't you pick something else if you're worried about it?
Oh,
I mean, that's
goodness.
What I do. But, you know, it took a lot of very hurtful
Johnny.
Occasions.
Okay,
before
so this
I
is what you
got to
go with. Okay, man, you go with like that color's good on you. Oh, you look good in these colors. Oh my goodness! And
right.
you're how old?
Right. Deflection.
I don't know. Those
Deflection.
Sisters should have taught you some stuff about how to answer questions.
Oh yeah.
And about the clothes, man.
Oh God. Oh God. Well, they did teach me about you know positive things. If I wanted to date girls, like I should shower daily.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Yes. Brush
just,
your teeth.
Yeah.
Shower,
brush your teeth. Shower. Comb your hair.
Hair.
You know.
All the things
yeah.
smell good.
Yeah, maybe
look good.
Maybe don't wear the same T-shirt for a week. You know,
yeah.
Switch it up.
Yeah, wash your laundry.
Yeah,
yada
yeah,
yada yada.
All those things.
See, that's what I'm saying. Sisters, that's pretty cool.
Right, exactly. And I love them for that too.
That's awesome.
Being honest is, you know, can be a challenge, but it doesn't have to rule your life in a way that makes you uncomfortable. It just takes practice. My friend Tom, he's a parapro and works with kids in schools. He talks about this one kid that always winds up in the principal's office, and he saw this kid sitting there in the chair outside the office, and he goes, "What's up with you, Bobby?" And he goes, "Tom, I just don't have enough practice being good." I mean, that's what it's all about. You need to have practice being honest.
I feel like that was like super, like from the heart, truthful.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That was real stuff for that kid to say. You know, I just,
oh yeah,
I just don't have a lot of practice at this, man. This is hard.
Yeah.
You know, I can relate to that. Like, I just don't have a lot of practice at this conflict. This is hard. You know,
right,
yeah,
right,
getting better,
and yeah, and it can get better, and. Mm-hmm. For our listening audience out there, all I can say is you know, try it. Be conscientious.
Yeah, be kind.
Of what you're saying and doing to other people. Mm-hmm. This time of year, you know, coming up, we're a week away from Christmas. And the ability to, you know, be with people and be kind and loving and being honest about, you know, who you are, where you're at, and all that, you know, it's something to think about ahead of time. You know, now's the time to think about, well, what's going to happen when somebody brings up politics at the family dinner?
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
Say you're
time to use the bathroom.
a red color, and they're all a blue color, or vice versa. And you know, how are you going to be honest, but at the same time be kind?
I mean, and on that subject, I feel like. Just remember, for me, I just remember that we're all different and that, you know, in our opinions and things like that. And I would want someone to be respectful to me, you know.
Right.
And I
right.
need to be able to be respectful. And we don't have to agree. We
That's
just don't.
Right.
Just in case you guys don't know, we don't have to agree. We don't.
That's right.
In case anyone doesn't know, like, it's okay to not be on the same page about things. And it actually, I feel like, has matured me to realize, hey, you know what? People have all sorts of opinions about stuff. Psh, okay. I'm not going to worry about, Johnny, I'm not going to worry about what your politic opinion is.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right. And,
because
you know, even if you feel.
I don't have the energy to, I just don't. I have too much.
Right. Well, I also remind myself, don't take the bait.
Right.
Because some people, you know, there are people out there that just want to draw you out. And, you speak your truth, and they've got 19 ways to try and bring you down or, you know, make it sound like, you know, you're just wrong or whatever, or even, you know, honestly try and convince you to come around to their way of thinking.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready for that, not only can it be uncomfortable, you know, it can be up to and including devastating. So
you don't like it when someone beats you over the head with their opinion? Just the big, like, I could just, what is that, Flintstones? One of those
right,
big
one of those clubs, yeah.
Just beating you over that. Hey, you have to believe what I believe. Clunk, clunk, clunk. You don't want to, like, think about believing what they believe.
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, my head goes off onto like squirrel thoughts.
Yeah, right.
And like,
well, no, I mean,
that's funny.
What you're expressing is what a lot of people feel. I mean, that's just really the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're beating me over the head, and you know, less likely to convince me or entice mm-hmm. me to over to your way of thinking if that's how you're going to approach it. I've been in those situations, and I just politely back away from it. Hey, well, great. I'm glad you feel that way. Well, aren't you going to agree with me? They may say it differently, but that's basically what comes next. I'm like, respectfully decline. Let's talk about something else. Mm-hmm. Then I talk about something and makes them uncomfortable. No.
Like I said, we have a sense of humor on this show.
That's
so just
right.
Understand we're being funny because
that's right.
I don't get
that's
to right. laugh very much, you know. I yeah. mean, I do and I don't. So
yeah, poking the bear is not the way to go. Well, you know, we're up against the time clock here, but I think we covered some fun stuff today. I think I learned something, which is a good thing because.
Me too.
Learning's a lifelong process. You know, I think I will mm-hmm. stop learning when they start, you know, throw dirt on me or
pretty
stuff
much.
Me in the easy bake oven. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Colonel Cinders bacon shake.
Yeah, it is expensive the other way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know, that's what I've been hearing. Dang,
and that's a really piss poor use of real estate too, as far as I'm concerned.
Well.
You put a park there, a golf course,
you know,
water slides. I mean,
yeah. I don't know.
You would,
but I get it. I get it because that's what most people can afford to do. So you know, but
exactly.
I get what you're saying about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well.
It's just not my thought as I was growing up as a kid. You know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so when this airs, it will be like a week and a half from Christmas. Week and a couple of days. I hope that everything's going well for your plans and travels to everyone who's listening. And hopefully the Christmas season is. Joyful and not too stressful.
Merry and bright. Drive around and look at the lights
yes,
in
the
Moscow.
Lights
oh my
cool.
gosh, people have
yeah,
really,
it's nice.
Really gone out of their way to decorate this year. Mm-hmm. I was actually shocked. Nobody had, I think most of the Christmas lights are stuck on boats out in the ocean off California.
Mm-hmm.
But the little that was out there got gobbled up quick. And man, mm-hmm. driving around town at night, and I'm just seeing tons of stuff, and it's really cool. A lot of people got very creative,
mm-hmm.
so get out there and enjoy that, if nothing mm-hmm. else.
If you got some elderly family that can't get out of the house, you can take a video or some pictures and send it to them. You know, we all have our smartphones. My teenage daughter did that and sent it to my mom because she doesn't get out much, and she liked that. So,
that's good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good kid.
Yeah, so happy holidays, everyone.
That's right. And hopefully we'll have another show right before Christmas, and things will be good.
Right.
And we'll talk more about holidays and dealing with those then. So for now, thanks for listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3, the coolest station in the nation. And if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or mental health issues, you do.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changed. Situation's terrible, but baby, you're adorable. Handle me with care. I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some love to give. Won't you show me that you really care? Everybody's got somebody to lean on. Put your body next to mine and dream on. I've been fucked up and I've been fooled. I've been loved and ridiculed in daycare centers and night schools.
sent to meetings, hypnotized, overexposed, commercialized, and only with care. I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some love to give. Won't you show me that you really care? Everybody got somebody.